Over valley and mountain, river and plain, through wind and storm, rides Anne of the Airvane.
Ann Burton, who aspires to be an air hostess, and Jack Baker, pilot for Interstate Airlines, have been induced to fly a stolen AerCap speed plane from the Springfield Airport to a small but well-equipped desert island just off the coast of Florida. Their motive for flying the ship is to attempt to bring back the AerCap, as well as an experimental transport plane that has been stolen from the Interstate hangars on the same night. Back in Springfield, Jack's co-pilot Pete, together with hostess Kay Thompson, have unraveled the fact that both ships were apparently flown in the general direction of Miami, but also learn that Jack Baker is suspected of being guilty of the theft of the interstate transport. After calling Ann's aunt, Hattie Jackson, Kay finds that Aunt Hattie has departed from Detroit, and it becomes known that she chartered a special plane to Springfield, where she was apparently going to assist in the search for her niece, Ann. Pete and Kay search the records at the airport and find that Aunt Hattie arrived just a few minutes before the interstate ship was stolen from the field, and learn to their amazement that she was not seen leaving the field by car or taxi. Could she have been aboard the stolen transport as it roared away from Roberts Field under the guidance of unknown hands? Only time will tell that. But what of Ann Burton and Jack Baker? What has befallen them on the desert island? Let's listen.
Flight en route to Miami. Be on lookout for stolen interstate transport ship, number NC29004. Believed to be headed for Miami Airport or vicinity. Flight en route to Miami. Be on the...
I told you, Dick. There wouldn't be no time until those guys get on to which way to look.
All right, Joey. You just tend to your cooking. We'll handle the brain work around here. Sorry, folks, we don't put up a dinner just exactly like the Hotel Waldorf. But considering everything, it's not bad, is it?
No, I don't think that Joe does it all badly. You must have taken a course in domestic science, have you, Joe?
Silence is what Joey needs, not science. Isn't that right, Baker?
I wouldn't know about that, Morgan. But I will say that your outfit, whoever they are, haven't done it all bad in the matter of science, either.
We do a lot better in the matter of silence.
I'm afraid I don't quite follow you.
I mean that after you land that transport ship where we tell you to in Africa, you'll know enough by that time not to go around telling just how much you know about our business. See?
You seem pretty sure that I'm going to fly that ship across the Atlantic for you, don't you?
Well, you said yourself we proved it pretty well. Shall we think of just about everything, Baker? You don't think we'd fall down on a little thing like you just not wanting to fly, do you?
No, I don't suppose you would.
Do we want to get back on the radio before it starts to get dark, Vic?
I think we'll contact them a little later. That transport will be showing up almost any time now. Might as well wait a while. And while we're waiting, you two can look over the island if you want to. But I'm warning you not to go near the south end. There's just no telling what might happen if you wander off down that way.
Okay, Morgan. We'll stick around pretty close so you can keep your watchful eye on us.
And just one more thing. When that transport ship comes in, and it'll be here in a few minutes, don't make a rush for it. And don't try to see who brings it here. You might not like surprises.
But whoever brings it will have to stay, won't they?
You'll find out all about that when the ship comes in, Gorgeous. Okay. Now run along. And remember what I said about the south end. Now, Joe, where's that bag with a sparkler?
Well, Ann, which way will we go?
Well, it doesn't appear to make much difference. The ocean will stop us almost any way we walk.
Don't let the distance fool you. It's further to that shoreline than you think.
I wonder why he wanted us to stay away from the south end of the island.
Probably they have their source of supplies down that way. Anyhow, we're not going that way. I don't think from what I've seen of Vic and Joe that the warning was just an idle threat.
No, I don't think so either, Jack. Just what do you make of the whole thing? Why have they brought us down here? And why do they want you to fly to Africa?
I think I've got that pretty well figured out, Ann. I think that Vic and Joe are working for some big diamond smuggling syndicate, and this island is the base of operations in America. Evidently, they've been using ships in the past, but they're modernizing their equipment through the theft of the interstate transport.
But surely the police will get our tails before anything can happen.
I'm not so sure about that, Ann. You see, by hanging the theft of the interstate plane on me, they've got me pretty well placed. Say, just a minute, that gives me an idea. Just who would be the first one to find out that you aren't in Springfield?
Why, I never thought of that. The Marimore family, where I board, don't know that I'm back from Aunt Hattie's in Detroit.
Aunt Hattie, that's it. There's been something bobbing around in my head for the last hour. Some loose end that was left. And that's it. Aunt Hattie.
Oh, but she's way up in Detroit, Jack. She wouldn't miss me or even know that I've left Springfield.
Now, listen, Ann. Here's the whole thing. Pete, you know my co-pilot.
Yes?
He knows we left in the air cap from the Green State. But the police know that he's a friend of mine. And he's the only one that saw us leave. So he'll just have to work something out by himself. But if you remember, you promised your Aunt Hattie before you left on my ship from Detroit yesterday afternoon that you'd be waiting for a call.
Oh, yes.
All right. She calls. You're not there. She calls the police. Then Pete will probably come along with his story that we left together in the air cap. That'll make his story come out okay and put a little doubt on me stealing the interstate ship.
But how would the police know which way
to... You heard that radio report Vic picked up on the short wave set back there in the shack. They've got a lead somewhere, and whether they know it or not, they're on the right track.
If Aunt Hattie will only think about calling the police. She's so impulsive. She always tries to do things herself.
Let's hope that for once she won't try to unravel this one by herself. Well, it'll soon be dark, so let's see what we can while we can.
I'd like to see how they managed to get all that electrical current they use. Did you notice, Jack?
Yeah, lights, radios, electrical cooking utensils, electricity for everything. Takes a lot of juice.
You suppose they have a ship drop batteries for them?
And that electrical current problem is one of the reasons why I don't think these boys are bluffing. They have all of the latest equipment. I wondered about the source of the electricity for a little while, but I finally figured out that they're harnessing the ocean for their power.
Harnessing the ocean? Oh, Jack, that's a little too much like something out of one of those thousand years in the future books.
Not a bit, Ann. It's as simple as ABC. All they have to do is to build a series of small dams or retaining walls near the shoreline and put small turbine motors in the bases, like they do in the large dams in the Western River. Then, when the tide comes in, it fills the small lake. And when it goes out, the water flows through the turbines, which turn the generators. Then they even have gone farther and fixed it so that both the water coming in and the water going out will turn the generators. You see?
And to think they fixed this deserted place up like that.
It just goes to show that they've got something pretty profitable. And whoever breaks up this gang is going to get plenty of credit from Uncle Sam. You know, Em, the more I think of it, the more I think it's a good idea to apparently let myself fall in with their scheme.
But, Jack, you can't fly across the ocean. Why, you might
be... The only thing I was thinking of was how you're going to get off this island yourself. I can't leave you here and take chances...
You think I'd stay here? If you think for one minute that I'm not going in that transport with you, Jack Baker, then you're just...
Listen. What's that?
What? I don't... Oh, yes. Yes, it seems to be
It is. That's the interstate transport. I'd know those motors anywhere, but...
But what, Jack?
There's another ship with it. And that motor sounds familiar, too. Seems like I've heard one like it somewhere. Listen.
There they are over there, Jack. That great big one must be the transport. And the smaller one...
I got it, Ann. That small one is the same ship that tried to drown us this morning. But how on earth did he ever get out of that muddy field and get here?
But they're both going to land, aren't they?
Well, it looks like it. Yeah, they're landing right over there by the hut. I'd give a million to know who those pilots are. Those boys can fly. Let's take our time getting over there so as not to arouse any suspicion. Remember what Vic said. But maybe we'll get over there in time to catch a glimpse.
Stop. And then that small ship took off.
Yes, but whoever was in the interstate managed to climb into that smaller job. Funny, I've never seen a ship like that. Boy, is it amazing. Oh,
it's as much power as the aircraft. Do you suppose that Morgan will want to take off right away?
Oh, hardly. He said he had to contact the dock, whoever that is, first. And then it takes time to gas up that transport. Besides that, we need some sleep. Isn't that Dick over there by the interstate?
Yes, I think it is. And I see that Joe is still in the shack, as you call it, washing dishes. You know, he seems to be a pretty nice sort of a fellow, even if he is a crook, doesn't he?
I don't quite make him out. He's apparently as dumb as they make him, but somehow I don't think he's as dumb as he lets on. Dick will be able to hear us in a second, so let's watch out what we say.
But remember, Jack, I'm going to see this thing through with you.
Yes, well, Anne. Why, there's really nothing to it, Anne. There's no more danger in flying this ship to Africa than there is in riding there on the largest ocean liner. It'll be a lot quicker.
That's fine, Baker. I'm glad you've made up your mind to take this ship to Africa. It shows you're smart. And you too, Gorgeous.
Morgan, there seems to be no limit to your nerve, or rather the nerve of your gang. First, you take the aircraft plane, then you steal the interstate experimental ship. Now you practically force Anne and myself to fly to Africa.
Little Corilock doesn't have to go if she doesn't want to, you know. You'd be in fine company here.
I'd rather take my chances on the ocean, Mr. Morgan.
Just when do you think we can get started, Morgan?
No hurry about it, Baker. None at all.
Then how about getting word through over that little private radio system of yours to Springfield, to my kid brother Bobby's, that I'm all right?
Your kid brother? Say, thanks. We'll get word to him. But that gives me an idea. Just in case, you know.
What do you mean?
Hey, Vic, Springfield is calling you. Better get over to the radio shack. They're pretty hot about something.
Never mind what I mean, Baker. Better get acquainted with our ship while there's still light. And remember that I've got the ignition key. Just in case.
Jack, you don't suppose they do anything to Bobby, do you?
And this gang is liable to do anything. We'll just have to watch our chance. Let's look over this ship. You want to know all about it. I'll give you a hand so you can climb.
Jack, what's that door there on the side?
Oh, that? That's the baggage compartment. They put it there so that...
I would have sworn that I heard something moving around. And I thought I saw that door give a little.
You're just nervous, Anne. There couldn't be anyone in there because... I say, that does sound like something moving. I'll give this door a pull. It might be that someone got...
Well, without time, one of you took a dose to open that door.
And Hattie.
Me cramped up in this little cubbyhole for more than 12 hours. And then you two stand around on the outside cavorting like you were on a picnic. Where am I, anyhow?
But Aunt Hattie, how did you get in there?
That isn't half as important as what I want to know. Where am I?
So Aunt Hattie managed to stow away on the stolen interstate transport. But how and why? Has she indeed, as Anne suggested, attempted to make the rescue of her niece single-handed? Or has she been wise enough to leave clues at the Springfield airport that will lead Jack's friends to the secret island? And if so, will they arrive in time to prevent the flight of Jack and Anne across the thousands of miles of watery waste? We'll be expecting the answer to some of these questions when we set our dial to this same station for the thrills of the next episode of Anne of the Airlines.